Silver is rising for reasons the market is not yet fully admitting publicly, behind refinery bottlenecks, accumulation, and an overlooked policy deadline. A different framework may be forming. This piece examines why apparent abundance can coexist with higher prices, and why January 2026 matters more than it looks.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey, and this is the Gold-Fix Market Rundown. Front and center is the home page. The story in the middle, Reset, How to Survive the New Economic Order. That is being translated into German and will be placed on Germany's largest precious metals publication. So look for that. We'll let you know when it comes up. Top left-hand side, Silver, who is front-running the 232 tariff decision. That's an original piece that we postulated. And there's a lot of interest in that story, probably because no one else is talking about it yet, and it makes a lot of sense. We spoke with several professionals in several parts of the world going into the weekend to come up with a solution as to why things were doing what they were doing, specifically the fact that there is a lot of metal out there. It's just not coming on the market. And this story, well, let's put it this way. It picked up over 100 subscribers, this story alone. And that's very large for our little publication. So we're going to talk about that at length. In the lower right-hand side, Goldman Gold and commodities as strategic weapons. Goldman put out a report late last week that we covered, and it's their 2025 commodity outlook, right? We think that it touches on a concept that needs to be paid attention to as to how things are going to proceed. The new economic cycle, the new commodity cycle, the new, I wouldn't call it a super cycle, but I would say the new macroeconomic cycle for commodities is much different than the old one. Let's start with the markets. 10-year yields are up 2. The dollar is down 26. The S&P 500 is up 19. NASDAQ is up 57. The VIX is unchanged big. Gold is up $71 on its highs at 44.09. That's a new all-time high. Silver is 68.97, near its highs, up $1.80. That's a new all-time high. So 1.64 and 2.67% respectively. Copper lagging, 542, up 3 cents. That's almost 60 basis points. WTI 57.85, up $1.16. Nat gas up 2. Bitcoin participating a little bit, breaching 90,000. Ethereum up as well. Palladium up $80. I'm sorry, 61, 63. It's moving around. $61. Platinum up over $100, leading the pack today. 1773 in palladium, 2081 in platinum. That's CTA money getting in. It's above 2,000, so they're all buying it. We're entering into a little bit of froth here. Gold, silver down another 66 basis points, and grains are all up with wheat leading the charge. Okay. So the story we want to get to is this first one here. It says silver, who is front running the 232 tariff decision? Silver is rising for reasons the market is not yet fully admitting publicly. Behind refinery bottlenecks, accumulation, and an overlooked policy deadline, a different framework may be forming. This piece examines why apparent abundance can coexist with higher prices and why January 2026 matters more than it looks. Section 232, executive order, creates a mid-January policy window where silver could be designated tariffed, incentivizing accumulation before any tariff action. Recall earlier in the year, late last year, when silver was spiking on the COMEX futures while spot was nowhere in London. That was people front running the tariff that never materialized because it's economically not smart to tariff something you want to buy. But nevertheless, smart businesses like General Electric were buying their silver beforehand and getting it into the US. Now that materialized as a big nothing burger and silver collapsed, lease rates came in, and the market decided that there weren't going to be tariffs. But now we're in a different vibe. There is a, even though it's up $2 a day, right? Even though it's up $2 a day, this is a slow, orderly rally. Price is transmitting supply-demand problems, not leases this time. And that's because, well, we have reasons why we think that's happening. But the moral of that story is that there is accumulation before a potential tariff event again. But it's not taking off. It's actually reasonably orderly. And that smells to us of smarter, more organized accumulation. So we ask, who is front running the 232 tariff decision, which may or may not result in silver being tariffed? If you're asking why would they tariff silver if I keep saying that they have to buy it, well, you buy it, you get it in the borders, then you raise the tariff. So let's say silver's trading $50. You start buying it knowing you're going to tariff silver at a higher level after you get enough silver in. So what you do is, because you're the United States of America and your price transmission is a global effect, you buy all the silver you can, you get it inside your border, then you raise the tariff and you say the tariff is now $20 higher than the price. So we're not going to buy your silver. They're not going to sell silver for anything less than that tariff. We're not going to buy silver. And what that does is it makes everyone in the world who has silver pull their silver off the market because they're waiting for a higher price. This has happened before, and we've talked about this over the years with oil, how threats of tariffs make the market go to the tariffed price. And I think that based on how the market is moving and how the lease rates are not complying, that there is a very good chance someone is accumulating in a little bit more methodical, orderly fashion in anticipation of tariff risk. Who that could be, we don't know, but we do have an opinion that we share with everyone. So rising silver prices fit in with a broader context with this January deadline, and that's a new framework. Accumulate first, restrict access later, and it results in a kind of orderly policy managed upside. Look at what happened in China. They stopped, they're in the process of restricting their exports of silver. Now, below that, there's another version. It says, Founders Silver, Beware the Ides of January. That's the same written piece, but the mini pod, there's a mini pod attached to it, and it's a walkthrough of all the information that we combined to come up with that conclusion and one way to interpret it. The written part elaborates on the closing observations that silver continues to rally despite there being plenty of it available, seemingly warning of a deluge of selling in the near future. But there is one thing that does not make sense, and it centers on the Ides of January. We also touch on the fact that we believe, based on information and insight and precedent, that someone is going to be announcing a digital tokenized silver product. So I think metals being pulled into the Middle East for that reason as well. I'm sure that that's happening. The question is how it's happening or when it's happening. We don't know. So that's the founder's version. That's a 15-minute mini pod that goes through the thought process. The other piece is, strangely enough, related to what we just talked about. Goldman puts out their 2026 gold and commodities outlook, and several important themes emerge from that outlook. Energy understandably attracts the most attention, and it may well deliver the cyclical upside many investors are looking for. The more durable signal, however, sits elsewhere. Now, before we get into the durable signal, gold remains the bank's highest conviction long. The rally accelerated in 2025 as falling U.S. interest rates drew ETF investors back into the market, increasing competition for physical bullion with central banks. American investors competing with global central banks. U.S. is accumulating gold through its people, just like China did. The analysts expect these two forces to persist through 2026. The global commodity outlook into 2026 is being shaped by two overlapping forces: an intensifying U.S.-China geopolitical and AI power race at the macro level, and large uneven energy supply waves at the micro level. Together, these dynamics underpin the bank's core convictions across precious metals, industrial metals, energy, and power markets. Now, there's a piece of this that we think is very significant and very telling. The report's emphasis on the insurance value of commodities deserves closer scrutiny. They say, quote, "The insurance value of commodities in portfolios as a growing supply concentration of the U.S.-China competition and other geopolitical conflicts raises disruption risks." Now, translated into practical terms, this is the onshoring theme that we've heard about for years, moving from manufacturing into physical shortages. The legacy of just-in-time supply chains, a product of peak globalization, is giving way to a model centered on storage, redundancy, hoarding, and security of supply. Commodities are no longer treated as flow inputs alone, tied to whatever the dollar price is. They are increasingly treated as strategic assets. To wit, they want the gold. The shift matters because it changes the pricing logic of the entire complex. Let me put a picture up a graphic that they use in there. It's not actually easy to figure out. It took me like a, well, it took a half hour for me. Inventory, all right, so when security replaces efficiency, meaning we need to have it, we need to have the convenience, what you get is you get, number one, you get backwardation, because backwardation is convenience spread, right? Contango is a carry spread. Convenience, I want it here, I can defer delivery later. So now we're in backwardation in silver again, and that's a convenience spread. Now, during a convenience spread or backwardation, what you're really looking at is people are willing to pay a price to have it handy. Now, as with all this as the organizing principle, inventories will eventually rise because people are hoarding it. Spare capacity shrinks and price sensitivity increases. Over the next 5 to 10 years, we believe, until meaningful new supply is brought online, this framework supports steadily higher commodity prices rather than short speculative spikes. In that environment, the precise choice of commodity becomes less important than having diversified exposure across the complex with selective overweights where conviction is highest. So let me go through this chart a little bit here. This is what I believe is going to eventually be the new commodity macroeconomic cycle. Okay. As commodities become tools of geopolitics, the first thing is you have the first version there, the first quadrant, top center, insulation. Prices go up. That insulation is a nice way of saying accumulation. That's hoarding. Prices go up as someone hoards, right? Then the price is now at a high enough point that you move to expansion. And in expansion, people start drilling for more, right? Prices drop during expansion. And then concentration. Concentration is where everyone has been buying it, but now it gets bid out of the hands of smaller players. So out of the smaller countries' hands and into the hands of, say, China and the US, which we're seeing now, or in a micro fashion, out of the retail's hands as they sell their silver above $50 and into the deeper pocketed hands, which are not going to be selling it at any price for any time soon. Right now, when you have concentration, it becomes leverage. So instead of weaponizing the dollar, you're weaponizing gold, you're weaponizing silver, you're weaponizing lithium, you're weaponizing rare earths. So they opine where every commodity sector is in this cycle right now. So metals are in the insulation area. They're not saying it's, so I'm saying it for them. It's being hoarded. Silver, gold, and copper. Expansion. Oil is in an expansionist phase. It has been for a long time. Shale was an example of that. LNG is in the concentration phase. Now, what is that? Well, LNG can be made anywhere, but bottom line, there's really only two or three places that have the market share: the U.S. And I'm not sure exactly where in Asia. It might be Indonesia or Malaysia, but LNG is expensive to make and risky and highly volatile, and so therefore, it really only ends up in the deeper pocketed hands. And leverage, well, rare earths are already at the leverage area. We see how China pushes our buttons on that. And so this nice little graphic here gives you an idea of what's going to happen in the metals. Now, this is a bigger picture cycle, but it's also smaller picture. Prices go up, somebody opens up a plant, silver drops, somebody buys all the silver on the dip, concentrate. The volatility shakes out the weaker hands. And then when all the silver that you need or whatever commodity that you need is hoarded, then you raise prices on everyone. And that's what I think the 232 could be. It could be a mini version of that cycle. Anyway, those stories and more under Goldman, Gold, and Commodities as Strategic Weapons. The chat, very lively, obviously, very happy right now. Thank you. We agree. And we'll be dropping some insights into there in there today from information that we see elsewhere. Data on deck. No, it's not unemployment. It's GDP. Let me fix that. There we go. GDP. Nothing scheduled today. GDP is on Tuesday. I think it's delayed GDP as well. It's not really current. Jobless claims Wednesday. Christmas, we're closed. And Friday, nothing is scheduled. I hope everyone had a happy Hanukkah and is getting gearing up for the Christmas celebration. Let's take a look at the charts for one brief second. You're going to start getting a lot of targets from people right now. And that's fine. We have no targets to offer. But if you're looking for targets, by the way, this was the measured move from here to here, from there to there. That was 64 and a half, and now we're at 68 and a half. So doesn't matter. You have targets above. You can start looking at Fibonacci levels. You can start saying 167%, 200%. Start looking at that, and those targets. It's not a science. Okay, what it is it's something to focus on. You need a target. You need something to aim for, and you should be looking at your profit taking. You should be looking at your profit taking based on money you need. You don't need the money, then you let it run. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and get long now. That's crazy. But maybe it's not crazy. I don't know. But one thing I will say is that this market, the silver market, is, I mean, it's literally in price discovery mode now. And price discovery mode, it has a definition. That definition is there's no supply, and so the market is trying to make supply come online by searching higher. See, for years, for decades, I hope the silver miners are listening to this. For decades, they disincentivized supply by tamping and dampening down price discovery. Price never incentivized new discovery. And it was always coming out in maybe lease rates once in a while or EFPs once in a while. And those mechanisms would handle it and take it off to the side. So price never was permitted to go up, disincentivizing more production. So any silver producer who's still producing silver purely or majorly, God bless them. That was a decade or two of price suppression. Now we're in price discovery mode. And price discovery mode says, hey, the price is going to go up now, not the lease rates. We're going to basically bypass the lease rates. We're going to bypass the LBMA. It's the old mall. And we're going to say, at what price will we flush out selling? And you've already seen one price that was above $50. All the retail is hitting the bid on their coins in small bars. And all that metal is being melted down into 1,000-ounce bars and being hoarded. I don't know why, I don't know who, but I have ideas. At some point, they'll run into supply. That supply may be at 72, 74, but there's someone out there with a shit ton of metal, and that's in the scrap or in the concentrate that hasn't been heap leached yet, or say someone who's holding some in the back, like a bullion bank that's long, that's saying, okay, I'm going to hold it until I see real supply come online. Well, when that happens, you'll hit it and you'll have a big chunk of supply hit and the market will swoon. And then it will restabilize and then start to march higher. So what I'm saying is I took off two-thirds of my length on the first time I got a little bit nervous. So I'm not taking off any for a long time. So in fact, if I take any off now, I'll probably buy silver miners. So hat tip to those guys that survived all that. Gold. Well, there you have it. The only thing keeping gold down now, in my opinion, well, there's two things. One is there are people out there rotating gold profits into silver longs. It's happening right now. Funds are doing that. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, well, the price is just getting high, right? The price is getting high. The next kicker for gold will be if a tokenized gold product catches fire, then the market will go up a lot more. All right. I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.